Praise the Lord. Greetings to you, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Blessing to gather together with you again today. Mother's Day. I'm so thankful for you sisters, the mothers here among us that we owe a lot to. Any of us who are struggling to be leaders of our homes, or even as older siblings to younger siblings, just owe a lot to Mother. This week, we looked a little bit at documentary of some animals and how especially the wildebeest and the Serengeti of Africa gives everything to defend its young, its calf, fighting off enemies, just putting itself in harm's way, take care of the baby. And making them run and fend for themselves, because that's necessary too sometimes. Think of my mother and her goodness to me, bringing me into the world, nursing me and giving me a life. Goodness, kindness, warmth. Think especially of a time that I called her as a young adult in difficulty, in trouble. I was away from home. And she just gave me a few words of encouragement that just fixed up the problem, or got it on the right path. Anyway, God bless her for that. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear God, we thank you for your faithfulness today. Thank you for calling us to be a part of your family, your kingdom. Dear God, we thank you for our mothers this morning. Thank you so much for godly women, Father. Just praise you for the grandmothers too, and the great-grandmothers. Help each one, dear God. Help them in their difficulties, their trials, their tests. Father, help us husbands and fathers, daddies, to be good and not make their life harder, but be examples of Jesus. Dear God, we pray for David in Mexico this morning and the brothers and sisters there. We pray for Josue and Alma Jessica, his wife, as a new mother, and Josue as a new daddy. Bless them and their baby girl. Pray for Floyd's as they plan to drive up here to see us all. Bless them, Lord. Pray for Andrew and his marriage coming up. Just prepare him, dear God. Help him to find the strength in you and in your people. We just thank you, Father, for the brethren, wherever they are. Pray for the brethren in Colombia, the challenges they're facing. Your will be done. Thank you now. Give us your word and fill us with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this week, I was working at the shop, working on cars and trucks. Had a friend that had a vehicle that we were working on. Pretty big job. So he decided to come and pay a visit in the middle of the work. He sat on some little chair or stool nearby, watched us. He announced when he came, made it very clear that he's coming to spread encouragement. And of course, I really needed him to say that because I usually feel the hot breath of the client on my neck when they are there nearby while I'm in the midst of the challenges on the fixing. And so he made that clear that that's why he came, and he just had great intentions. And he sat there and we talked as we were working. And I was just thinking about that this morning, the encouragement or hot breath. And I think of hot breath, and I just want to explain myself. I'm not talking about just something warm. It often has the bad quality of a heavy odor, too. It stinks. That which is not encouragement at all. Bad breath. Big difference between the two. And I'd like to read a few verses in Mark 2, Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. In chapter 1, Jesus started out, as we know, saying, "Repent and believe the gospel." And he went on to immediately help this sick world, healing sick people and people who were possessed with devils. And they became amazed. The people said they'd never seen it in this fashion. It was different. It was something new. They liked it. They were astounded. Chapter 2, he became famous for his simple acts of healing, and he was teaching as he helped the people. And here someone brought a paralytic and couldn't get into the house to him. So since they couldn't get into the house, what did they do? One of you children, answer, raise your hand. Arthur. Okay, well, how'd they let him, what'd they do first to be able to let him down through the roof? Yeah, took off the tiles, made a hole, let him down. And put him down on his pallet, it says here. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said, first of all, to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And then he, just look at the response. Some of the Pharisees were sitting there and reasoning in their, some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming." They called it blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus just, he knew what they were thinking about. Immediately Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, pick up your pallet, and walk'?" Good question. Which is easier? I mean, if you can just bid the sickness depart and a person is all whole and sound, what's the difference between the sickness of the soul and saying, "Your sins are forgiven, not held against you anymore, go in peace"? "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And then he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." And he did. The question, why does he speak that way? Why does he talk like that? That's not right. That's for God. Hot breath. Bad breath. Instead of encouragement. Then Jesus continues right on, doing what he's here to do. Remember, he was here to bind up the wounds. He was here to preach recovering of sight to the blind, to preach the gospel to the poor, all about doing good. Verse 18, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. They came to him and said, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Why is it that when we see something good, when something good is going on, something exciting, something that should be a reason for having a fiesta, we want to see somebody sober and want to see somebody serious and afflicting themselves, fasting? Think about that. There's too much good going on, was the idea. Too much happiness. Why don't you get sad a little bit? And John's disciples, they were certainly looking forward to Jesus, but they needed to be gently told, this is the one. But Jesus went on to tell them, how could you do that? I mean, if the bridegroom's with you, are you going to fast? You wait till he's gone. When he's gone, then you fast. He says, you've got to remember, verse 21, this is like sewing a patch of cloth on an old garment, new cloth on an old garment. And it causes, when it shrinks, that patch pulls away and a worse tear results. Or new wine and old wineskins. Chemical reaction, it just doesn't work. Doesn't fit. And you have the wine lost and the skins as well, trying to match those up. He called for a new day. A new outlook. And immediately it seems like the very next thing that happens, verse 23, the disciples, just like anybody else, they get hungry. And it's the Sabbath day and they're walking through the fields and they start rubbing together. Another gospel says they were rubbing, picking the heads of grain, rubbing them between their hands. And with a little puff of air, then they had their grain they could pop in their mouth and chew on. And the Pharisees, some more hot breath. Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? He said, haven't you ever read what David did when he was in need? He and his companions became hungry. How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priests. He also gave it to those who were with him. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus, doing good on the Sabbath day, became something heavy, something that needed to be breathed heavily upon and scrutinized and scanned. Next chapter, he entered into a synagogue. There was a man whose hand was withered. And this time they were ready. They just knew he was going to do something wrong. It's the Sabbath. Let's see if he tries to do something on the Sabbath. And he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he just looked at the verse 4. And he said to them, he looked at who does it say it was? They were watching him. That's, of course, the leaders of the day of the synagogue. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. By this time, Jesus was angry with them. Looking around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against him as to how they might destroy him. Thought about it along with the example of these plants from all this rain, these flowers, wildflowers along the road yesterday. There was some just was amazed at the amount of flowers. There was some two different shades of wild roses, just plenty of them. That one spot along the road. They have thorns, but beautiful little things. A light colored and darker color red. Rose and then a dark, rich rose red color. And I just thought about it this week, how they're just there. And any plant might not need to be a pretty one. Might just be a weed. But it's life. And it just sits there. Nothing else to do but to just keep pushing up. And I thought about the simplicity of that, how different that is from our lives. Sometimes we just have so much we're involved in and worried about. But this little plant just calmly sits there and pushes up a little higher. And it just kind of, I can imagine looking around, we're making it, and just worried about getting up a little taller and existing and flowering and pleasing, and it's just there, and the simplicity and the goodness of that in the hands of a response to their Creator, and how that for every good thing there's someone or something against that. It's just, it's a fact of life, and we reckon with that, realize that, and may we not be the ones who against some, or who are against something good. Thorns and briars are wrong. I'm not talking about that, but life and goodness. We should be longing for that, because that is the whole desire of the universe. That's the intention of our Creator. Or are we just, do we just end up with hot breath instead of encouragement? Here's a few thoughts. Well, first of all, let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Title there says, "Be like Christ," above the chapter. Philippians 2, "Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, without bad breath, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. All right. Encouragement in Christ. If there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion. Rather than being self-centered and full of our own interests, because the attitude that was in Jesus was about serving and about goodness and doing his Father's will. And he says, do all things, verse 14, without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach. And these thoughts that I wrote down. If our focus is on not going astray, if we're on this path, then if our focus is on just avoiding, being careful not to go astray, why, we'll see and imagine dark tunnels everywhere. We'll see them all over the place. If we want nothing more than to identify and avoid poison, we'll die of starvation. And if we think that pure religion is about outsmarting Satan, do you know what we'll see when we scan the faces of our brothers and sisters? Satan. It's encouragement. Being like Christ. My client friend sat there that afternoon talking. And even though he had the best of intentions, the subject went to a man that he had seen the day before, with also a vehicle at the shop that I was working on. And I was just dealing with him when this man came. But he just talked about him. He was sitting there that afternoon, just recalling this other man that he saw there. And he just couldn't help it. Just spilled out a little bit about how he owed him money. And he just doesn't pay. It doesn't have a good reputation. And just not... just a trial. Even though appears like he has plenty of money to spend, just doesn't care about his debts. And he caught himself then a little later, and he just said, here I came for encouragement. I said I was going to spread encouragement, and I ended up speaking evil of my neighbor. I saw myself in that clearly. and could understand very well. He said, "Why is it that I can't let that go? I need to forget about that." He said, at our church, we had Sunday school recently about the servant that owed his Lord 10,000 or 100,000 talents or whatever it was. And he couldn't pay. And then he went out and found one of his fellow servants. And he just said, I told the rest of the class there that obviously what he's saying is, and he gave his own experience of before someone in the community just being hard to deal with and seemed like they were out to get him. And he said, "I realized the other time we studied this in Sunday school, and now I called to memory that this fact that I saw that there's no other hope but to forgive if we want to be forgiven. And we obviously, our sins won't be forgiven us if we hold something. It'll be remembered against us if we remember against someone else." And so he left then just saying, "Sorry. I just ended up spreading some hot breath." But it was, it ended up being encouragement because he saw it and I did too. And praise God for that. May God help us to choose the right quality, choose what Jesus would do. For encouragement, rather. Maybe you have something to add to that, brothers. If our focus is on not going astray, we'll imagine dark tunnels everywhere. We'll see them. And there are, but anyway. If the verse, the second one here, if we want nothing more than to identify and avoid poison, we'll die of starvation. And number three, if we think pure religion is about outsmarting Satan, we'll see him as we scan the faces of our brothers. So, if there be any encouragement.
It seems that encouragement is an offensive tactic.
Exactly. Yes. 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 The other is the defense.
God, our strength is from above, the source of life, the fountain of love. Oh, let devotion sacred flame, our souls awake to praise thy name. God of our strength. God.